Hello, everyone, and welcome to Queer Love Forever. This is the podcast where I give you love advice, whether you ask for it or not, and or food for thought on queer relationships, love, connection, and community. I'm Kim. I use they, them pronouns. I'm the queer matchmaker of London. And this week, I want to talk about how to get good at dating. I've got a lot to say about this, but first I'll do a little catch up. There's a lot has happened in the past 2 weeks since the last episode came out. It was very busy, but a good 2 weeks, and I've been working on two December events, which I can now tell you about. I still have another future event, which is very exciting, that I can't tell you about yet, but you'll hear about it soon enough. So these December events. First up is, so happy to be bringing you the Disabled Queer Christmas Party. It's the winter version of the Disabled Queer Prom that me and Lucy Webster ran in June. Lucy is my dear friend and the co-creator of Everybody Queer, which is an event series for the disabled queer community. We've done meetups, socials, a few panels. We had a little market at our first event, and we're at it again. So we spent a few months recovering from the Disabled Queer Prom in June, which was incredible but honestly very stressful. It was it's a lovely venue at the Albany in Deptford, but that's a lot of space to fill, so it was tough. But we've decided to have another go and do it all over again for a festive edition. So the details, it's going to be at the Music Room London, which is in New Cross. It's near New Cross bus garage, near New Cross gate station, just around the corner from Queen's Road, Peckham, that one of those Peckham stations, Queen's Road. Yeah. And it's going to be on Saturday the 6th of December from 6 to 11 p.m, which is my favourite, is when an event finishes at 11. And you can expect karaoke. We're going to give out prizes like we did at the prom, most amount of glitter worn, most pimped out mobility aid, stuff like that. And then we're going to have some queer DJs to help us dance the night away, and an extra special extra queer Santa's Grotto for photos, and you'll have more details on that as things get confirmed. And I can't wait. I'll keep you up to date with any announcements on the podcast, but also check Instagram and get your tickets on OutSavvy, because they're on sale now. They're up there. And because last time we got a lot of worried messages from people wondering if they are queer enough or disabled enough to come along, I want to be clear. This is an event for queer disabled people and their queer allies, all of them. We will never question how you identify or whether you belong. If you think you do, then you do. This includes neurodivergence, chronic pain, chronic illnesses, and mental health conditions. We know that disability can take lots of different forms and that getting official diagnoses isn't always possible, but we are focusing more on making the event a beautiful celebration of disabled queer joy versus gatekeeping and checking people's eligibility to be there. So if you think it's a space for you, then come along. It is a smaller venue than last time, so if you do want to come, make sure you get your tickets as soon as possible. And there are multiple price options, so choose the one that is doable for you. And if you can pay a bit more, please do. The general ticket price is around between £5 and £15. So if you can pay a bit more, that would be great, because we have very little budget. Another event that I've announced is, it's not really to do with a whole orange at all, but it's, I'm really excited about it. It's called DILF, as in Dude, I Love Frogs, or something else. You could use that acronym for a lot of things. And it is a top surgery fundraiser for Ro, who is my friend and now my housemate and also is the person who has been handling my social media for free since June, while I sorted out hiring someone. So thank you for that, Ro. And they also do social media for London Queer Mart, and are generally a wonderful human being, bringing very much joy into the community and the world in general. And I'm helping them put on this fundraiser event on Friday the 19th of December. We're going from 6 p.m. until midnight. But you can arrive whenever you like. I know it's a work day. Some people have jobs that require them to be in offices for a certain amount of time. So it's from 6 till midnight at the Ivy House in Nunhead. And the venue is wheelchair accessible with step-free toilets, but there's no big accessible changing places toilet. So bear that in mind if you need that in order to come to the event. It will be a night of fun, sexy silliness. At the moment, we have a bunch of fabulous music and drag acts lined up, as well as some fun extras, like we're going to have tarot reading booth, a bake sale, and so many more things. It's been kind of overwhelming how many people are kind of excited to donate their time and their skills and expertise. There's going to be a lot to do at this event. It's going to be lovely. So make sure you're following the Fruit Salad Events Collective to see updates on that event and to see updates on the Disabled Queer Christmas Party. If you don't know about the ever-growing diagram of organisations, Fruit Salad Events Collective is a collective of different event organisers who put on events for queer people, and the events are clear about accessibility and prioritise conversation. So it's kind of like a collective that lots of different events exist under. And because this is a Top Surgery fundraiser, we are kind of putting that on as a collective. It would be silly to create a whole other organisation just for this event. So that's how we're communicating about it. And Everybody Queer, which is the group with me and Lucy, who we're putting on the Disabled Queer Christmas Party, Everybody Queer is in the events collective. So I think maybe I just made it more complicated, but that's okay. I'll put the links in the show notes. As well as all of this planning, I've also done something in the last two weeks since we spoke that I hadn't done in a long time. I went to an event that wasn't run by me. I went to an event at the Common Press called Polystation. It's a discussion group for poly people, and it was so lovely. It was so nice to be in community with other people who are consciously dating outside of a monogamous framework. To talk with this like baseline understanding about how we all choose to have our relationships. It was really special to kind of just have that mutual understanding before any conversation even began. It does happen that people don't understand why someone would want to be poly, and they share their disapproval about that. You know, disapproval about the way that you relate to your loved ones, to your face. Sometimes people are, yeah, very clear about why they don't think that being poly is a good thing. But it's even more common that I have conversations about polyamory with people who haven't done it before, aren't interested in it necessarily, are more kind of like seeing it as a novelty. So the conversations can stay quite surface level. And I really enjoyed this event because we got to get into the depths of non-monogamy and talking about various scenarios we've each experienced and how we dealt with them and how it all felt and what works for us and what definitely doesn't. And it was beautiful, and I'm so excited to go again. For anyone who has listened to me describe it and is like, yes, I would like to be in that space, the event is called Polystation, and it's once a month at the Common Press. I think maybe the venue might change in the future, but at the moment it's at the Common Press, and they have their tickets on OutSavvy, I believe. So yeah, maybe I'll see you there. As well as this, I also went along to Queer Farm Club, which is technically one of my events, but I went as an attendee, thanks to our new community cooks that have just joined, Sarah and Io, and of course, thanks to Izzy, who runs the crafting part and the farm tours at Queer Farm Club. Sarah cooked a lovely Persian stew, and I got to chat and craft with the attendees for the first time ever. For the whole of the past, every single time I've gone to Queer Farm Club, it's been to cook or to run the crafts. And this time I just got to take part, and it's been a long time coming. It's been a long journey to get here because I used to run the, so first of all, they used to be 4 monthly events from a whole orange, and I used to run them all myself. And about 2 years ago, I realized that I didn't have any social energy left for socializing myself after that. That like 4 events, that's kind of my maximum for the month. And when I was running them all, I then couldn't really go out and socialize of my own accord. You know, like meeting up with people I already knew was fine, but I couldn't really meet new people because I just didn't have the social energy for it. And it has taken those 2 years to have facilitators for all of these events reliably in place. Like there's been little pockets where there's been enough facilitators, and then, you know, people have to leave or they've got other commitments or something. So this is the first time that all 3 events are being run by people that aren't me, and I'm able to socialize again. It's really nice. It was really nice to chat to everyone at Queer Farm Club. And seeing as I am someone who doesn't use dating apps at all, being able to socialize outside of my own events and meet new people means that I am more likely to find people to date. Because also, I don't date people that I meet at my own events because that's a bit unethical, I think. When you're running the event, you're kind of in charge. There's a bit of a power imbalance. This is a possibility now. And that brings me to the topic of this podcast, how to get good at dating. It's not what you think. It's not like a pickup artistry guide. I don't mean how to get good at taking people home after a date. I'm talking about how can you uncover the purpose of dating for you and get good at connecting with another person to find out what you want to find out on a date, or to like do what you want to do on a date. So maybe that's a bit vague. Don't worry, there's a whole podcast to come. I'm about to explain it. Here we go. We'll start with what dating is for. I mean, in the last episode, I talked about this in a lot of detail, but a kind of a summary that we landed on was the point of dating is to seek out intimate, romantic, sexual connection. Like either one of those things, a couple of those things, a combo of all three. And then there are lots of optional extras that you can hope for and look for, like long-term commitment, connection over long periods of time, other forms of support, cohabitation, co-parenting, traveling, matrimony, I suppose. The point is seeking out a connection with another person beyond the platonic in some way. That's what dating is to me. And then the two of you, once you've met each other, you can kind of co-create what that connection consists of. So if, you know, both of you are feeling romantically about it, then the connection can become romantic. Now, if you agree with that kind of definition, if that's your priority in dating, that it's kind of all about connection, let's talk about how to get good at that. But then, you know, there may be other elements in it for you. Perhaps you're also trying to reduce your anxiety around dating, like learning to self-soothe on dates as well as connect. Maybe you're looking to have more fun on dates, and so prioritizing fun alongside connecting might be important for you. Maybe as well as connecting to another person, a date is a way for you to learn more about yourself and what you like. It's going to be different for everyone. And maybe all of these things sound like good objectives to you. And in fact, what we are going to start with is a dating checklist of the things you hope to do on a date. So take out your notes app or write a WhatsApp message to yourself like I do, or even get out a journal. Ooh. Paper and pen, and note down a few things that come to mind as kind of the purpose of dating for you right now, in this moment, in this phase of your life, in this week, in this month. I'm going to share mine with you, but yours may be different. So for me, connecting with another person is sort of the baseline. I want to learn about them. I want to be vulnerable enough to let them learn about me. I want to feel out what common ground we have and start looking for compatibility and, you know, what do we both want? I want to have fun. I want to be brave. So essentially, I want to sit with the discomfort of nervousness. And I would also, on a date, want to decide if I'd like to go on another date with that person. These are my main priorities when dating. The things that I hope I will get done on the date. I will get to do on the date. Now, I'm going to, like I said, yours might be different, but I'm going to go through each of my objectives and talk about how to get good at it. And I can't seem to talk about it in a way that doesn't sound so kind of like businessy, like objectives, aims, checklist. But I think that this can be very romantic as well. This is just my language for talking about it. So, the first thing, connecting with another person. Connecting requires us to be present in reality with each other, being open to another person and meeting them in the here and now, and kind of like understanding what's happening between the two of you. This can be quite difficult, but we can set ourselves up for success with some forethought and maybe even some ritual to make it as easy as possible for us to be present and grounded on a date. A great way to do this while also pouring on a bit of self-love is with a date ritual, a ritual that you do before, during, and after a date. We'll get into it. I have a tendency to over-explain, that's why I have a podcast, but this can be a good thing. This can also be great for any situation when you want to be present and open to connection. Like, you could do these rituals around singles events, for example, or when you're going to be at a party or at an event with friends and you want to really be present with them. Now, the ritual should be personalized to you, but I'll take you through an example that I use and some examples from clients of mine and friends of mine, and you can customize your own. In fact, this is what we will be doing at the Queer Zine Dating Workshop on Saturday. The Queer Zine Dating Workshop series is still going on. There's the Saturday one is sold out, but there's two more dates every other Saturday. I'll talk about them at the end. Right. So for me, my like ideas for rituals before the date. The best thing to do is to start by thinking about how you would like to feel on the date. For me, the main focus is on feeling calm and grounded because I can get stressy, a bit anxious. And so for me, the main thing is to calm down. This means I need plenty of time to get ready and get there on time. So a quick turnaround after work isn't going to work for me. There would need to be a space in between where I can get ready and get going without having to rush. So I make sure I have at least an hour to get ready. And during that time, I pick out my outfit, put on some jewelry, even if it's just the two rings that I always wear. I use like perfume, like fragrance. I'm obsessed with perfumes and scents. So I take the time to adorn myself intentionally with whatever feels needed that day, like lavender to bring some calming energy. I really like bergamot. It gives you a feeling of confidence. And for you, just take the time that you need to get ready, however much time that is, and find your version of this. It could be a focus on colours, maybe choosing certain colours to put you in a certain mood. Maybe you're putting some extra time into your hair or having a particularly luxurious shave or doing a creative makeup look or even a shower so you feel fresh, you know, doing some extra exfoliating in the shower or something. This can be adapted as well if you're coming from work, if you're someone who can handle that kind of a turnaround. I can't switch gears that quickly. But yeah, it can be adapted for that. If you want to bring a change of clothes, you know, top up your perfume or your makeup, maybe take 5 minutes for a calm cup of tea or something to help you switch from work mode. I have a client who has a particular flavour of gum that they chew when they're going on a date. It could be really anything that lets your brain know that the workday is over whatever you were up to before is done now, so you can prepare to connect with whatever energy you need to be present with another human being. Music is also really good for this. A pre-date playlist can be good for when you're getting ready. You could even, you know, make it the length of time that you want to spend getting ready, and choose songs that make you feel calm, confident, excited, energized, loved. I did a workshop, one of the past queer zine dating workshops. Somebody who came to that loved looking at pictures of their friends and like lovely times they'd had with their friends when they're on their way to a date, to kind of like remind themselves and affirm how much love and connection is already in their life. And it made the date seem kind of like less stressful. It's not the be all and end all. There's so many other lovely people in my life already. And similarly, reading over some affirmations can also be a wonderful way to walk into a date feeling confident and relaxed. If you have any pre-date rituals of your own that I haven't mentioned, or even if I have, I'd love to hear about it. Please put them in the comments. And yeah, it's basically about building the time before the date into like basically curating the time so that you show up to the date feeling how you'd like to feel, feeling ready to connect. Okay, now during the date. A ritual during the date is something that many of us already have without realizing it. You know, like when you go to the toilet on the date and you take some deep breaths, or you make a face at yourself in the mirror, like sometimes a smile, sometimes a face that's like, oh my God. Some during the date rituals we have involve alcohol. Fair enough if you want to have a particular drink on a date to help you settle in, but I don't drink, so I don't know about that. So if I find myself struggling to be present on a date, I find that a fidget or a stim toy really helps if I have something to kind of stim with in my hands. I really like those ones that are like a tangle, or the ones that are like a little switch. There's so many good stims. If you've come to any of my events, you will have seen the plethora of stim toys that I have. So objects like that can be really useful to remind you to ground, but they don't have to be stim toys. Any object can remind you to get out of your head and tap into connection. A piece of jewelry that you wear on dates, a fidget ring maybe, a necklace. I have this little orange charm that it's kind of like a little moon face that I wear on a little silver hoop whenever I'm running an event, when I'm in like event facilitator mode. And that's there to kind of like remind me that this is a space where I can connect as somebody running the event. I don't have to kind of just be in professional mode. I can also be a person. I need reminded of that. You may also want to bring along some conversation cards to get the chat flowing. You can of course buy my conversation cards. I'll put the link in the show notes. It'll be in my link tree. Or a notebook to draw or doodle in. Maybe you can even draw in it together. You could play that game where you like draw the head and fold it down, and yeah, that's cute. Mentioning how you're feeling on a date can also be a wonderful way to check in and acknowledge any nervousness, tiredness, shyness, not just for you to acknowledge it for yourself, but also to let the other person know where you're at. That invites them into reality with you. They might have misread your nervousness as disinterest. I mean, we often assume that, you know, when somebody doesn't show the signs that we expect, when someone doesn't react the way that we would if we fancied someone, that they must not like us. But you know, if you mention, oh, I'm a bit nervous, you let them know what is actually going on for you, and the chances are they're feeling nervous too, and you can connect over that. Now, some rituals for after the date. No matter how the date went, it's good to take some time to return to yourself after being connected with somebody else. And actually, there's another one for during the date that I forgot to mention. I have two alarms set. I have one 9 o'clock alarm, which is to remind me to do the dishes, and I have a 10 o'clock alarm, which is like no more screens after 10. Time to get ready for bed type thing. And I really recommend having two alarms kind of to remind you to check in with yourself when you're on a date, like, this would be a good time to go home. Do I feel like I still want to stay? Am I running out of energy? Am I just having a really great time and so I'm going to wait? And then a second alarm that's kind of like, okay, this is when the last train is, or this is when the last bus is, because then you kind of like have this external force reminding you, and you don't have to kind of keep tabs on what time it is. And also, some of us, you know, we run out of social energy and don't necessarily realize it. And it's nice to have a prompt to go home, even if you're having a good time, because, you know, maybe it's a school night, you've got work tomorrow. Or you can make the decision to be tired tomorrow in a more conscious way. Anyway, back to after the date and returning to yourself. Here's some examples for how you could do that once you've said goodbye. This could be a playlist for listening to on the way home. You could listen to a podcast that you like. You could watch an episode of a show that you really like when you get in, have a sleepy tea, have a quick debrief with your friend on the phone or by message, maybe a few minutes of journaling, or an elaborate skincare routine. I mean, whatever it is that allows you to feel more grounded and connected to yourself after you've just been out chatting the night away with someone. Take that time to process what has just happened and settle into the rest of your day or night, depending on, you know, when you get home. And I think that having these rituals in place is a really great way to not get kind of like whipped up into somebody else's orbit. You kind of have these practices that allow you to ground in yourself. It makes it easier for you to tell how you feel about someone, and also for you to do the rest of your life, for you to like make sure you have enough sleep, make sure you have enough time in between things. Not just about showing up on a date able to be present, but also being able to show up to the rest of your life afterwards. The next thing I want to talk about is dating kindly. The kind of the rituals that I talked about, they're about tending to yourself, and that's lovely. But this idea of dating kindly, a way of choosing to be kind and generous to the person you're on a date with, to make connecting more likely. This is something else. This is kind of more about the mutual connection, because connecting is a two-way street, but we can make it easier for each other. For example, I'll take you through some examples. I don't think it's completely clear yet, but how many of us have complained after a date, oh my God, they didn't ask me a single question. They just yapped and yapped about themselves. Or on the other side of the coin, it was like they were interviewing me. I didn't find out anything about them, and they just kept asking me questions. It was like they were grilling me. Or even been on a date where they barely spoke at all, and you felt like you had to fill all of the silence. And all of these things could be personality traits that indicate that this is just not the one for you. These could just be the way that this person likes to communicate. But these are also all things that many of us do when we're nervous. The first few dates with someone that you like can be really stressful. I'm certainly not my best, most authentic self at the time in that scenario. And rather than assume the worst of someone and assume like, okay, they talked so much, they must just be self-centered. Instead of assuming the worst, I think being good at dating is to take steps towards each other when connecting is feeling difficult in some way. So it could be saying, noticing kind of an imbalance in the conversation and then putting words to it. And I have some example phrases like, oh, but I've been talking for ages. I want to hear more about you, when someone is in interview mode. And this could be a gentle reminder that they can also share during the day as well. You could say something like, you seem a little quiet, are you okay? Would you rather talk on a walk, or should we go somewhere less noisy? This could invite the other person to share how they're feeling, whether that's nerves or if the environment just isn't working for them. And you could say something like, the thing is, I tend to go into interviewer mode when I'm on a date. You probably want to hear about me as well though, so I'll answer this question too. This can be a cue to the other person to ask you some more questions. And I definitely fall into this one, because my job is literally to talk to people about dating. So I often get into that question mode where I'm just asking lots of questions, and the other person wants to hear about me too. You know, that's part of the reason why they're there. Nerves can have us too busy in our own heads thinking about how we are coming across to be present and connect properly. And sometimes we can't see clearly the interaction while it's happening. I'm sure most of us have left a conversation and reviewed it afterwards on the way home thinking, oh, could I not have monologued a bit less? Like, Jesus, I felt like I talked their ear off, but not have been totally aware of it during the date itself. I just think it's nice if we can help each other out like this to bring each other into reality together. The reality where you're both a bit nervous and not necessarily communicating in a balanced way because of it. You can discover that someone's quietness is because they're nervous and excited to be on a date with you, and they're worried about saying the wrong thing, and they actually have a lot of interesting things to say. They're just not at their most communicative when they're feeling nervous. You can both become aware that the barrage of questions is coming from a nervous place, not a distant one, and that the monologuing is because they really want to come across as interesting and not because they're self-centered. Hopefully, this makes sense. You can see what I mean about being good at dating. And I'll continue on with some of the other examples from my date checklist, but I'm really into this idea of dating kindly at the moment. I think we can be generous to each other, and yeah, we're both there for the same reason. We're both there to connect. And if it's not going so well, if it's feeling unbalanced, there's nothing wrong with us, you know, putting words to that and looking for it to become more balanced. The next thing on my date checklist is have fun, just like the CeeMat song. But how can you influence whether or not you have fun on a date? You know, you can't necessarily create the fun on your own. It's a two-person thing. But again, you can set yourself up for success. This can come from being intentional about where you go for dates, having some places in mind that you want to visit anyway, you know, even if it was with a friend, whether that's food places you want to try, a cute cafe you haven't been to yet, a gallery that you love, an event that you love, a park, a walk, an activity, a craft that you'd love to try out. I'm still waiting to go on a date with someone. I really want to do a date, which is just riding the DLR. I think the DLR is lovely on a good day when it's sunny. You get to see so much of the city that way. So choosing a date, activity or location that you're excited about. This helps lift the energy and nervousness already because there is now another focus. There's like, ooh, what are the pastries like here? Ooh, how long does it take to ride the DLR from one end to the other? And when there is this other focus, it feels more natural to connect with someone because it's very rare that we as humans spend time with one person we don't know very well, just communicating with nothing to react to. Okay, that was my computer. Hang on. I'm very devoted to not editing this podcast because it takes too long. So, apologies for that interruption. So, yeah, it's much more natural to have something for you to both react to. If there is, like, if you're in a gallery, there's art that you can look at and share your opinions about it. You can try the food at this place. You can talk about the lovely trees in the park. You can experience nature together. Then there's automatically things to talk about, and it's just easier to connect that way. So choose a place, an activity, or event that you prefer to do with someone that you're excited to do. And something that allows for chatting to happen. It's also great if it suits your common interests. For example, a film could be a nightmare first date, but if you both are really into cinema and you meet, you know, for a bit before the film to chat about it and then chat about it afterwards, it can be a really fun experience to share. It's very, you know, specific to what you both want, just as long as you're able to chat at some point. And it's kind of like, you know, another focus to talk about. This could also mean being very selective with who you go on dates with. So if you're kind of prioritizing fun, you could choose activities that are fun, and then you could choose very specific people to go on dates with. Sometimes you may feel more relaxed and more up for giving it a go to meet up with anyone who you could see yourself fancying, anyone you have a few things in common with. At other times, usually when time is limited, you might choose to go on dates only with people who you really, really fancy, or only with people that have a great vibe via message, if you meet them on a dating app, or even only meeting people who share a specific hobby that you really like. Of course, there are lots of people you might have a really good connection with who, don't fall into those brackets. If you're prioritizing fun, you might end up narrowing your dating pool a bit. But if you are in a moment in life when fun is the priority for dates, this could be a way to do that. Right. We've got being brave now. Essentially sitting with the discomfort of nervousness. This is a fabulous and tricky aim. Being brave isn't always easy, and it does take effort if you're not used to it. If this is one of your aims, I really recommend practicing being brave and how to self-soothe. So, practicing being brave outside of dating and practicing to self-soothe outside of dating. There are loads of ways to do both of these things. The being brave bit is usually about risking being rejected, so go back and listen to my episode on rejection for some insight on that. I also suggest trying out some rejection therapy ideas. You've probably seen this on TikTok or Instagram, people deliberately getting rejected. And there's also apps as well. It's basically about actively seeking out rejection as a way to get used to it. The app that I've used is called Rejecto, and it gives you tasks to try so you can let your brain and your nervous system know that being rejected isn't life or death. It's actually fine. You can survive it. And then you're more willing to be brave in the future. It's things like asking for something in a shop that you know they don't sell, like asking for toilet paper in a bakery. Saying hello to people as you walk by them in the street. I live in London and it's amazing how many people won't say hello back, and that's okay. So there's lots of ways to kind of practice being rejected, practice being brave. And this will help you with sitting with the discomfort. You can also practice some self-soothing methods for if nervousness, anxiety, or shyness becomes really loud in your mind when you're on a date. There's the classics, breathing exercises, but you can also take breaks from the space. Again, using a stim toy, you can shift the date to a different environment in order to calm down. Like, suggest, can we go for a walk, or can we go to a different space or somewhere that feels more comfortable? The last objective, decide if I'd like to go on another date with this person. I think that dating is much too broad a word for what we use it for. The word dating, you could say, I'm dating this person, and you could be referring to someone you've been on like three dates with, or it could be someone you've been with for ages. And these varying meanings make dating seem like something very high stakes and intense, like you have to know for sure that you like someone in order to go on dates with them, when really, dating is the process where you learn whether or not you like someone, or like you learn the way in which you want to be connected to them. And while you don't have to figure it all out at once, a good thing to feel out on a date is whether you'd like to see that person again. And also try and get some sense of the type of connection that's forming. So, perhaps you know that you want to see them again, but you aren't sure of the vibe. It's feeling like a little romantic, but also a little platonic. It's not totally clear yet. Or maybe you're someone who really needs to get to know someone pretty well before romantic or sexual feelings can even start to form. The only thing you have to have sussed out is whether the two of you should arrange another date or not. To get good at this part, it's important to get quite intimate with what feels like a yes and what feels like a no to you. Get to know when someone's company is something you want or not. And of course, practicing to communicate how you feel and what you want to happen next, which is vulnerable. And it can be hard either way, to indicate you want to see them again introduces the possibility that they don't want to, and to reject someone can be scary as well. You don't want to upset them, but clear and direct communication is the best way. So let's go through some example phrases. Oh, I'm giving you so many example phrases today. Okay, so I've had a lovely time. I'd like to do this again. What do you think? I'm not sure yet if this is a platonic or a romantic vibe for me, but I know that I'd like to meet up again. What do you think? It was nice getting to know you. I'm not feeling a click here. It would be nice to say hi and catch up if we run into each other at events, but shall we just leave it at that for now? Even that for now is not necessary. Let's just leave it at that. If the prospect of this part is scary to you, you can always communicate your feelings and intentions by message. It's not illegal, but it's best to do it right after the date so they're not left waiting and wondering. And I suggest writing down a few of your own phrases for doing this in your own words, in your own voice, so that you have some go-to phrases whenever you need them. And don't necessarily have to get your editors slash friends in to co-author the messages every time. I think that it's a very beautiful process when a group of friends comes together to write a sensitive message. But, you know, you might not want to do that every single time. I encourage you to come up with your own checklist as well, as I've said, of what place dating has in your life at the moment, what are your priorities, and use this checklist and this podcast as a starting point to consider how you can get better at dating. And better is in quotation marks. And if you try any of these things that I've suggested, please let me know how it went. I'm always happy to hear from you in the comments or by email. My email is in the link tree. Now, we have a little bit of time left for a question from a listener. This isn't an advice question. It's a question for me, but I'm going to answer it anyway, because it's kind of salacious. What's it like knowing lots of people's queer business? Do you ever meet people that you know things about but can't say anything? Yes. This is a key part of my job. I sometimes meet people and know of them from conversations with a client who went on a date with them or used to date them or something. And it is a little strange to have a backstory or to like slowly realize who somebody is as you're talking to them. I always have to keep in mind that everyone has their biases and you'll never get the whole story from one person. So, you know, the account that I've heard from my client won't be the whole story. I try and wipe the slate clean for them in my mind and think of the version of them I've heard about as being like a separate person almost. So that I can just kind of, you know, react to them in the moment and be in reality together rather than in this narrative that I've heard. There has been once or twice though when I've met someone who has like really broken the heart of one of my clients, like really upset one of my clients in the past, and I meet them and I can feel a little protective of my client in that situation. But regardless, as my therapist would say, I keep shtum. I keep quiet. I don't share any details that have been shared with me in sessions outside of sessions. Confidentiality is essential. It's an essential part of my job. And I never share details outside of sessions. But it is, it's interesting to know a lot more than people might realize when I meet them for the first time. Speaking of sessions, if you find this podcast useful and would like a bit more support on your dating journey, you can book in for some queer dating support. I've got some spots free over the next few weeks for a £10 tester. It's like a 45-minute tester where we can chat on video call or in person in Deptford, whichever you prefer, about whether it would be a good fit for you, whether you'd like to try some queer dating support. So check that out. The link is in the link tree. Aside from that, there are events coming up. We've got the Queer Zine Dating Workshop series still happening every other Saturday. This Saturday is How to Get Good at Dating, what we've been talking about on this podcast, but that one's sold out. But there are still some tickets left for Who Do I Fancy and asking how to ask people out. So have a look on OutSavvy for that. I will be definitely running this series again, so don't worry, it will come back around. As always, we've got the 3 monthly events, not four anymore. There's the Dawson Superstore Mix and Mingle, which is the middle Wednesday of the month. There's the Sapphic Mix and Mingle at the Vagina Museum, which is the second Thursday of the month. And the November one, the November Sapphic Mix and Mingle, is for any sapphics on the ace spectrum. So have a look for that on my Outsavvy. And of course, there is Queer Farm Club, the last Sunday of the month. We will be crafting, cooking, exploring, and eating at Spitalfields City Farm. I will just be taking part. I won't be doing any cooking. Wonderful. And the two special events I mentioned earlier, the Disabled Queer Christmas Party on the 6th of December, and DILF, the fundraiser for Rose Top Surgery on the 19th of December. All very exciting. And all those tickets are up on sale now. You wouldn't believe the amount of graphic design and Outsavvy copywriting I have been doing this past week. So, please send in any questions you have for me. I will give you advice. You can do this via email, or you can do this anonymously on my Linktree. Please comment on this episode on Spotify, rate and review, all of that stuff, so that more people can find the podcast. You know the drill, you've listened to a podcast before. I also want to take a moment of gratitude. I've been trying to do this every episode. This time, the gratitude is for my friend and now housemate, Ro. It's been really lovely to have them move in, and they're also a fabulous cook. Oh, I'm feeling shy to say this. Yeah, it's been really nice to have a friend living with me and my sister. I'm also very grateful for the concept of mending at the moment. I love mending clothes, and whenever the weather starts getting cold and the cozy vibes coming along for the autumn, I get back on my clothes mending again, and I've been loving it. All that remains now is for me to request the secret emoji of the episode. This time, I want two emojis from you. And this is like a little secret game where anyone who's made it to the end of the episode knows what the emoji is, and when you comment it, then I know that you've listened to the end. So I want two emojis this time. I want the two hands reaching towards each other. It's like a visual metaphor for the dating kindly concept that I was talking about. Okay. Right, that's me done. Have a lovely 2 weeks, and I'll speak to you next time. Bye.